Well, this evening, the last in our Lenten series on the Sermon on the Mount is from a story probably all of us are familiar with. In fact, probably you first learned it if you were a graduate of VBS somewhere, right? You learned the song, The Wise Man. Should we make all you VBS grads stand up and we can sing? You know, the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and my back doesn't even allow me to do all the motions anymore, okay? So in our story, Jesus tonight tells us the story about two builders. Not two dreamers who talk about someday building their dream house. No, Jesus gives us two builders. Not even two philosophers who go on and on about the value of a place that we call home. Jesus gives us builders, not architects whose drawings can look really nice on paper. And I think it's important in recognizing this in the story tonight, in giving us two builders, because Jesus is talking here about doing, about acting. Because both people in Jesus' parallel stories build. They make something. In this case, they build houses. And Jesus isn't talking here about theology or creeds or doctrine. But what he's talking about here tonight is practice. Now, another thing about the two builders in Jesus' story and the thing that they have in common besides being practical people of action is that their homes are both tested by the forces of nature. And the quality of both structures is going to be measured by their ability to withstand the assaults of storms and high winds and water and floods. And so these two builders are building, if you will, in a real world where storms can take down a house in a matter of seconds. So what's the difference between the two builders? Well, the first one, we're told, is wise, and the second is foolish. And Jesus says that this is the contrast between these two individual builders. And what makes the first builder wise? Well, he builds his house on a rock, on a solid foundation, while the foolish builder builds his house upon the sand. And that's the simple difference, rock and sand. Rock is hard and solid and firm. Sand is soft and shifting. You know, foolish builders expect their houses to stand even on shifting sand. The wisdom of both of the builders is measured by their building's durability in a storm. And Jesus clearly says, one lasts and one fails. Now, we need to be careful here how we interpret this story of the two builders. Before I worked on this, I kind of always had the idea of just, you know, one was a good guy and one was a bad guy. But it's not a story comparing those who follow Jesus and those who do not. See, as Jesus spells out the true meaning of the story, he makes it very clear that both builders represent people who hear these words of mine. You see, it's not a matter of one hearing Jesus teach and missing it, while the other hears Jesus teaching and gets it. You know, both listen to Jesus teach. Today we might say that both builders, the wise and the foolish, represent people who read the red letters in their Bible and both listen to sermons, and they participate in Bible study, and they know what Jesus has taught. Even more, they may even understand some of Jesus' teachings. So what's the difference between these two listeners to Jesus' teaching? Well, the wise one listens to Jesus teach, understands his teaching, and puts it into practice. As Jesus puts it, this is the one who hears the words of mine and does them. The foolish one, in contrast, hears Jesus teach, maybe even grasps his teaching, but he never does what Jesus says. In other words, the listener to Jesus' teaching hears these words of mine and does not do them. So the story of the two builders really is a story about what Jesus expects from those who listen to him teach and preach. And he wants more than us just showing up to hear him. He wants more than people or he wants more than just praise for the valuable moral lessons he might be showing us. He wants more than some kind of a theological library or a list of truths and values and morals in which we're going to subscribe for our life. He wants a life based on his teachings. He wants us to do what he has told us to do. He wants us to do his will, even when it's difficult. Even when the storms of life seem to batter us. You see, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is not so much about ideology or philosophy. It's really a blueprint on how to build a Christian life, a Christ-like life. So his practical teachings show us how to navigate not only our relationships in Christ-like ways with one another, but also our relationship with the Heavenly Father. And so the sermon is meant to show us how to live day in and day out, not only when life is easy, but also when life is difficult and treacherous. It's not just about what we believe. It's about how we live. You know, in the ancient Greek understanding, there was sort of an ascending staircase, if you will, of maturity. You know, today they say you're not mature till you're 30. I'm not sure. I'm a little older than that. I'm not sure I'm mature. But anyway, so it went was like it went from knowledge to understanding, to wisdom. So knowledge was learning certain truths. It was sitting at a teacher's feet. It was going to school and learning Greek. No, they didn't have to do that, right? Understanding was grasping those truths so that they were something that a person could actually articulate and talk about. Wisdom, though, was putting those truths into practice. It was doing them. And Jesus is saying here that true wisdom is putting his teachings into practice. So imagine, you get really, really sick. I mean, so sick that your life is at stake. And your physician prescribes a treatment for you that includes a protocol of maybe specific medications, surgery, diet. And you respect your doctor because she's one of the leading experts in the field of the disease that, you've come down with. And yeah, you may go out and get a second opinion, but wisdom would dictate that you would follow her prescription to the letter of the law. You'll take those pills, and you'll have that surgery, and you'll follow that diet just as she says. I mean, it would be foolish, wouldn't it, to ignore her? And it would be equally as foolish to just follow your own path and decide how you're going to handle it. It's like that with Jesus' teachings. They are meant to be done. He wants us, and he wants to see us praying and forgiving, loving our enemies, helping the poor. He wants us to make peace and show mercy. He expects us to be salt, the salt of the earth. And he expects us to brighten dark corners. You see, the early followers of Jesus understood this wisdom approach to Jesus' teaching. James writes about that in his letter, that we must be doers of the word and not just hearers only. You see, Jesus' parable of the wise and the foolish builders, or the successful and failed builders, tells us about the depth of the foundation that we set down, and how the depth of that foundation is really the most important element in successful building. One man builds on high, on a high ground, on wide and long and shallow, but it's a sandy foundation. The other built up and out and long on a solid foundation of rock. And the shallow one caved in, while the deep one stood. You see, Jesus said foundations are everything. Abraham Lincoln was a study in depth. You know, because he was tall and gawky looking, the polite Washington society referred to him as a gorilla. Because he was born in a log cabin, self-taught from rural America, he was considered a country bumpkin. His own presidential cabinet was disloyal to him. Congress did not respect him. Some had even accused his wife of being a Southern spy. And George McClellan, his primary general, ran against him in the next election. President Lincoln, in a sense, had no width or height, even though the length of his life was cut short by an assassin's bullet. But he had depth. He had foundation. He had roots. And so he has come to be known as probably the United States' greatest president, the greatest president we've ever had. You see, such depth is no accident. It is, as Jesus says in this parable, built in intentionally as one hears the word of Jesus and is careful to obey. Depth is the product of time and relationship with Christ over many years. In Ephesians chapter 3, St. Paul writes that we may be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner person, and that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge. So foundation, roots, depth. It comes from the love of God in Christ. It comes in knowing His Word, in walking obediently in His Spirit, realizing His sovereignty. It comes in prayer and in trust, in building the church, in living out in a caring way relationships with God's people. You know, those are the things that Jesus taught. He says those are foundational. That is what makes life solid. And so now as we prepare to come into next week, we listen to the words of Jesus in the shadow of the cross. That cross of love and sacrifice has become our motivation to build our lives on what Jesus has taught. So we practice what He teaches, not out of fear or fear of judgment or strict obedience, but out of love and gratitude. And as we watch Him weather the storm of His passion, when we see Him practicing as He taught, humility, reconciliation, forgiveness, prayer, we see how He withstood the storm with amazing grace and strength. And we see that He did that for us. So no wonder then printing His words in red makes so much sense. He spilled His real blood, red blood, when He suffered and died for us. And it's His love that constrains us to not just be good listeners to His words, but dynamic listeners who build on the rock, who put His words to work, trusting, as Matthew says, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. May your life be firmly founded on that rock of Jesus Christ. Amen.